Enjoyed that very much. The answer is Christ. Amen. Turn if you're in your Bibles to Psalm 139. And while you're turning over there, I'm going to read our theme verse. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." That's the question tonight. When Jesus asked Peter to launch out into the deep, why? Why did he do it? Why did he do it? I think because he trusted him. No, I think, I know he did. He trusted him. He trusted him over his fishing abilities that he had told all night. He was a fisherman. He fished all of his life. He was raised around it. He knew the lake. And yet, contrary to his reasoning ability, he went against that because Jesus told him to. He did something that his mind told him, hey, this is not going to work. But he trusted the Lord Jesus. He trusted him because on the previous day, he had seen Jesus perform many miracles and seen Jesus heal people and do all sorts of great things. He'd seen the mighty works of the Lord. He just trusted him. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We know that he did obey, and of course a little bit of incomplete obedience there, but he did obey, and because he trusted the word of the Lord. And I just want to encourage you tonight. We're studying the attributes of God that we can learn to trust him more because of how great God he is. As Peter saw Jesus perform the miracles, we get a description of God and that Peter didn't have a full view of, because he didn't have the Gospels before him. He didn't have much of the New Testament before him. He didn't get to see and learn all those things. And so I just want to encourage you tonight that Jesus alone and God alone can be trusted. Why? Because he has unlimited power. He has unlimited power, unlimited resources, and he can't lie. That's the God we serve. He can be trusted. And as we emphasized in the fall, launching out into the deep, whatever the Lord is asking you to do, whatever the Lord is calling you to do, whatever he tells you to do, trust him. Trust him. Launch out into the deep. Amen. Look at what Psalm 139 says. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Well, that's telling, isn't it? The Lord knows everything. Amen. Even what we've said and what we're going to say. Anyway, we'll give you some application here in a moment, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. Again, as we look at the truths of your attributes, I pray, God, that you would help us, and even as we apply those to our personal life. Lord, we want to know you more in order that we might know ourselves better. In Jesus' name, amen. What comes into our mind when we think of God is the most important thing about us. A.W. Tozer said that. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. We have a tendency to think of God wrongly because of our nature. We think of God wrongly. We have a tendency to make him, put him down on a human level. We have a tendency to shape him into an image, and most of the time it's an image of our own making. As I've said before, we kind of want to make him a middle class, guy in the suburbs. That's not God. That's not who God is. God is much bigger and much, again, beyond. He's transcendent. He's beyond our thoughts. Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah reminds us, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am God. We glory in that we know the Lord. Amen. that we know Him and know Him more. How do we know Him? We know Him through creation. He said, Psalm 19 says that creation declares the glory of God. Creation declares who and what God is. When you step out the doors tonight and you look around at the moon or whatever may be around at the time, it shows that there is a God. Somebody much bigger. God describes Himself, or God reveals Himself through creation. He reveals Himself through the Bible, through the Word of God, and of course reveals Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, our goal is not to do mental gymnastics. I'm trying to hurry to get through the introduction. Our goal is not to just simply go through the motions again. We preached on the attributes of God before. It's been many years ago. But we want to go through it more this time with greater application. That what we know of God and how we know God and the more we know Him impacts our life every day. It doesn't just give us more knowledge. It impacts our life tomorrow. It impacts our life when we go home. It impacts our life every day. And again, to know Him and apply that, we must view Him properly if we are truly going to live the Christian life. It's absolute. If you're truly going to live the Christian life as God intends for us to, we got to know God in a greater way. We've talked about the genuineness of God, the attributes there on the genuineness of God, in which God reveals Himself as being God. He is a spirit. He's not a physical being. He's a spirit. He's spiritual. He's personal. He's transcendent. That means He's far above anything we could think, beyond our comprehension. He's triune. He's three in one. And then we talked about the greatness of God. This is where God reveals Himself as great. The greatness of God. We've gone over God is eternal. There's no beginning with God. He's always been. Now, He created time. He put the dot on the timeline. He created time, but to Him there is no time. He is unchanging. That means He's immutable. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And He's independent. In other words, He's self-existent. And He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. Amen. Acts 17 says that. Our God doesn't need a temple to be worshipped in. He doesn't need anything. And tonight we're going to talk about God is all-knowing. And the technical word for that is God is omniscient. So we believe that God is a God who reveals Himself, and that tonight is God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. In other words, He possesses perfect knowledge, therefore He has no need to learn. He possesses perfect knowledge and has no need to learn. God has never learned and cannot learn. He doesn't need to. He's all-knowing. Isaiah chapter 40, let's turn quickly. Sword drill, Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 13. God possesses perfect knowledge and therefore has no need to learn. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13. Isaiah 40 and verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel? And who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment and taught Him knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding? Of course, the inference there is no one. He has perfect knowledge. He doesn't need anyone to teach Him. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. No one has taught God anything. Romans 11, Paul says in verse 33, "All the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given Him, or shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Oh, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and love of God. Listen, God knows all things. He knows all things. He has perfect knowledge. We learn by observation, us human beings. We learn by observation. We learn by reasoning. We learn by comparison, inductive and deductive. We learn by observation. We learn by trying things. A baby learns to walk by trying it, you know, and begins to toddle it around. I found out pretty quick in the last couple of years that I have done a disservice to my boys in teaching them a few things. And one of those things I've done a disservice to them because of the technicality of vehicles today is I have not taught them a lot about engines and stuff that I was taught growing up. Now, my brother was taught the same stuff, but didn't learn a bit of it. And so as a teenager, I enjoyed working on vehicles. I owned six vehicles when me and my wife got married. Some of our greatest dates were in wrecking yards. I enjoyed working on vehicles. I haven't worked on a vehicle really in the last 10 or 15 years, but I used to really enjoy it. I had a 66 Chevrolet pickup. I still have a 60 Chevrolet pickup sitting out in the pasture. My wife keeps saying, "Why you got that thing sitting out there?" Well, number one, it's the first vehicle I ever bought. Number two, it's going to stay out there and rust. I don't care. I'm not selling it. But I began to ask questions to my oldest boy about engines and so forth. I said, "Yeah, you know, I took a motor and bored it out 40 over and put a 327 high performance race cam in it." And I went through this big long list. And he said, "Dad, I don't know a thing you're talking about." So I went back to and described it, how the distributor works, which cars don't, you know. Again, all the things you would talk about now, cars don't. Anyway, distributor and what points are and how that works, and just kind of went back through it with them. But they had to learn it, just as I had to learn it from my dad. And I had to learn it. A lot of it I learned from my father-in-law. Me and my father-in-law rebuilt a motor together. And I'm glad of that. I tearing apart a carburetor and learning about the float in there and the needles and the seat and all, you know, learning about all those things. But I had to learn it. God didn't have to learn anything. I know that's small cookies there, but God didn't have to learn anything. God knows everything. We have to learn by somebody teaching us, or showing us, or us testing it ourselves. You know, testing it ourselves and then making a comparison and making a judgment call or whatever the case is. God doesn't. He knows absolutely everything. God cannot learn, or else he would not be God. Think about it. I know that's a simple statement, but it's a deep statement. God cannot learn, or else he wouldn't be God. I mean, if you're the God who created all things, and everything came from that, then you know all things. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Listen, tonight, the Bible says, "I am the Lord, I change not." That's it. It's not just talking about things he said, but he can't change even things. Things can't change otherwise because he wouldn't know it. He knows everything. It's not just that he cannot change in his attributes and those things, but he can't even change in his knowledge. He knows everything. And that's a hard one to get. God has never been surprised or amazed. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God didn't go, "Oops." No, he wasn't surprised when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And I remember, I've told you the statement Dr. Barber's made many, many times. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Nothing occurs to God. Nothing. Ever occurs to God. God has never been surprised or amazed. So, he possesses perfect knowledge and therefore doesn't need to learn. He has never learned and cannot learn. He thinks about all things at once. Think about this one. He thinks about all things at once. Think about if you could get in a helicopter and go up in the air and you could look down at a train. All right? You're looking down at the train. You can see the engine. Used to, you could see the caboose. Now they don't have them. But you can see the end of the train, the beginning of the train. You can see the where it's headed and where it's been. You can see everything about it as you look down upon it. That's God with time. And that's God with our lives. That's God with everything. God sees the beginning and the end all at the same time. That's why we sing that song, He alone knows what lies beyond the bend. Because he can see beyond the bend. I cannot. I'm a human being. I can't see what lies beyond the bend. But God sees everything right now. He knows everything right now. He sees everything as if it is actually happening right now. He knows everything. God is eternal. No past, no present, no future. God is eternal. He knows everything, things actual, things possible. He knows them effortlessly and equally well. Think about that for a moment. He knows everything that can be or could be or whatever you could ever possibly think of, and He knows them effortlessly and equally well. I know the Bible pretty good. I know zero about computers. I know how to turn them on. Brother Adam, right? I know how to turn it on, and that's it. If you're going to ask, I don't know much about computers. I have no desire to know about computers. I just don't. It's not that I might be able to learn it, but I have zero desire to learn that. Whereas there are several here in the audience who work with computers. Thank the Lord for you. That's great. I don't know that much about computers. Listen to this now. God knows everything and knows it equally as well. Everything. Think about that for a moment. Psalm 147. Let's go there. We're not that close. You should be kind of... Psalm 147. Verse 4. Some of you will know this verse. Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth... still got people turning. Go ahead. Psalm 147 and verse 4. God knows everything and knows them actual, possible, effortlessly, and equally well. Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. In other words, He knows the number. He calleth them all by their names. Good night. Great is our Lord and great power, of great power. Listen to this. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. We're finite. We can only compute and learn so much. He knows everything and knows it, everything in particular, and knows them equally well. It's amazing. He knows the number of the stars. He knows them by name. He knows everything from beginning to the end. He knows all laws. He knows all relations, all mysteries. Every desire that you have ever had or I have ever had or any human being has ever had, He knows all about them. He knows everything there is to know about space and life and death and evil and heaven and hell. I mean, you go through the list, He knows everything about them and He knows it equally well. Everything. And He knows it effortlessly. I have to study the Bible. I have to learn the Bible. I have to spend time in it to get to know the Bible. God knows it all, no effort. God knows all things. I have a few minutes for the application tonight, and there's a bunch we could do here. But think about this. God knows everything, then, number one, God knows man's heart. God knows our heart. He knows us inside and out. He knows everything about us. Psalm 44, verse 21, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. We can't hide from Him. And if we kept reading on Psalm 139, which we'll do later down the road, it says, no matter where you go, where you up high, low, dark, light, He knows everything. Everything. And He sees everything. He knows the secrets of the heart. I know Brother McCracken brought up David. The Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. Why? Because when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, he repented of his sins. Remember? He committed the adultery with Bathsheba. He didn't get by with it. Did it in secret, but he didn't get by with it. He may have got by with it with the soldiers. He may have got by with it with others, maybe even his wives and everybody else. But God saw it. God saw it. And God brought a prophet to him and pointed out his sin. We're thankful that David was a man with a soft heart, a godly heart, and he asked God to forgive him and so forth. But God knew the sin that David had committed. God knew everything about it. God knows your secret sins. God knows every thought you've ever had. Again, God knows your secrets. Your wife may not know your secret. Your husband may not know your secret. Your kids, this preacher. Nobody may know your secret, but God does. Right. Amen. Amen. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above, who sees everything at one time, is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. God knows everything that you have ever done, everything that you will ever do, every thought that you've ever thought, thunk, everything, everything about you. He knows everything. That's why I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you may be good and you may be okay with your husband, your spouse. You may be okay with your children. But until you get all right with God, until you get right with God, you'll never experience joy. And you will be miserable. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, if you're saved and the Heavenly Father, He's your God and Jesus is your Savior, if you're a child of the King, then it will bother you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. And you need to get that thing right. There's joy in forgiveness. And there's joy in being clean before God. Absolutely clean before man. Most of us can do that. We can hide to a certain degree. But we need to be clean before God. He knows everything about us. And on that same point, He knows everything about us and loves us. Isn't that awesome? I know you think about the negative all the time, but think about the positive. God knows everything about you. He knows every skeleton in your closet. He knows everything about us. And yet He loved us so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Amen. See, He knows anything and everything that the old accuser will bring up to you. He knows everything that Satan can bring up to you and say, hey, look what you did. Look what you did. Look what you did. Look what you did. And Satan will continue to bring things out of the closet that you've asked for forgiveness from God years and years ago. He'll try to make you feel guilty and so forth and so on. And you can say, man, I've asked for forgiveness. It's under the blood. Amen. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am saved and I know it. And thank the Lord, He knew everything about us, everything we've ever committed, everything we've ever done, everything that we're going to do. And yet He loved us anyway. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Everything and loves us anyway. He knows us completely and yet loves us. That's a wonderful God. That's a great God. God knows our hearts. God knows our sorrows. We'll spend just a little time on this one. Exodus chapter 3 verse 7 says, He knows their sorrows. Speaking of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. He knows their sorrows. He knows your sorrows. He knows our sorrows. He knows what's going on in our life. And He cares. We've already covered it. God is a personal God. He personally cares for you. Personally cares for me. He's warm and compassionate. Unlike us sometimes, He's always warm and compassionate. He'll care for you every time. God knows our sorrows. Because God knows everything about us, God knows our needs. Matthew chapter 6. Again, we're not going to turn there. You know the story where Matthew talks about that, if God takes care of the sparrow, if He takes care of the grass, surely He'll take care of you. Right? God takes care of a bird, He'll certainly take care of you. And He certainly will. God knows our needs. In fact, He said in Ephesians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs. According to our riches? No, according to His riches. And I don't know about you, but His bank never gets empty. Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Some of you experienced it. Some of you experienced it more than once. In which you were at the bottom of the barrel and He supplied some more oil and grain. Amen. A good Old Testament reference. Y'all can look that one up later. God is good. He supplies all our needs. He knows before we even pray what we need. And yet we need to pray and ask. God knows everything about us. God knows His children. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows them that are His. I don't know about you, but I know my kids. I know my children. I know their differences. Every kid is different, right? No? Some of y'all got some kids that are just alike? No way. What stark contrasts there are between our children, right? God knows everything about our different personalities, everything about us. He knows those that are His and loves us equally. God knows everything about His children, therefore He knows our future. I'll say this, I've said it many times. He always has His children's best interest in mind. Always. Every time. No matter what you may be facing tonight, no matter what thing may come into your life, He knows. He knows. And He has your best interest in mind. God knows all things. He knows the secrets of our heart. Ezekiel 11:3 says, "For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them." Whew. That's tough, isn't it? We can clean the cup on the outside, but that's not primarily what God is looking at. Though I want to stress to you, unlike the liberals would like to tell you that God doesn't look on the outside, He does. The outside is important, but He primarily looks on the inside. And though you can clean up the outside and I can put this nice shiny suit on, it's the inside that He's looking at. Amen? He knows, look at that, everything that comes to our mind, He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows whether they're clean or dirty. And the question tonight is your heart clean before God? Is your heart clean before God? If you want joy unspeakable and full of glory, your heart needs to be clean before God. David described it. He said, "My bones ache." He said that sin within me. He lost the joy of his salvation. All those things, sin will hurt you so much. He knows our needs. He knows our sorrows. And again, nothing occurs to God. He's never surprised. He's never amazed. And He loves every one, though we are sinners. Amen. Every one of us, even though we're sinners, He loves His children. Just as we love for our children. He cares for us. He provides for us. He protects us. That's the God that I serve. And He does all that knowing everything about us. I do things for my children a lot. And it might be that if I knew their thoughts, I may not do as much for them. God knows our thoughts. Still does everything for us. Amen. Isn't that good? Let's all stand.